In the early 1980s, Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries of Fatima, wrote a letter to Cardinal Caffara that seems to be prophetic.
Father, a time will come when the decisive battle between the kingdom of Christ and Satan will be over marriage and the family, and those who will work for the good of the family will experience persecution and tribulation. But do not be afraid, because Our Lady has already crushed his head.
If it wasn't obvious that marriage and the family were under attack in the early 1980s, it should be blatantly obvious now. Mm-hmm. Even if we just look within Canada and even in the United States, the whole redefinition of marriage, you can't redefine marriage. It's always between one man, one woman for the procreation and education of children. To suggest that marriage is something other than between one man and one woman, it's like to say, well, now we have square circles. No, circles are always round and squares have four corners and they're always at right angles and their distance between each side is equal. If you redefine what a circle or a square is, you end up with great chaos in geometry, in architecture. And when you redefine what marriage is, the structure, the building block of society, you end up with great chaos in society. Mm-hmm. So why are we talking about this? Well, we want to fortify you.
I find more recently, I've been just connecting with different women, and often the conversation comes to praying for our children's future vocation. And I think sometimes it's just something that I kind of forget to do. But one of the ladies was really mentioning how right now, in this moment, there are families who are raising children who will potentially be spouses for our children. And so we need to be praying for not only those future spouses, but also for the parents of that child, because we want that parent to be raising a good and holy child. Mm-hmm. So that in turn we can build up the church and we can have saints for heaven.
Yeah, because really our role as parents is to raise our children in the faith. That's one of, we educate them and help them to live the call God has on their life. Mm-hmm. Assuming that they're called to marriage.
Right.
Let's pray for their future spouse or their religious vocation. Mm-hmm. But not just to leave it to
chance.
Chance. Like now we can start working on our children's vocations. Now, the whole thing about being created a human being is that we're free. Mm-hmm. And so we need to teach our children what is right use of their will. Mm-hmm. And so what is freedom? Not the ability to do whatever you want. For example, today we were driving to, I drove them to school. The kids go to school 2 days a week and then they're homeschooled the other three. So I'm driving them and one of them said this morning, oh, I wish I didn't have to go to school. If it was left up to them, that's how they would use their free will. They have to learn to use their free will to make a gift of themselves to other people and to God. That's right order. That's being free. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is the ability to do what you ought. Mm-hmm. To make a gift of yourself to God and to others. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that our children have this mindset always of asking, God, what do you want of me?
Exactly, yeah. That's right. And I think sometimes we often assume the default vocation is marriage, but it's not. And I think we need to remind our children that it's good to be open to whatever God wants, because that is going to ultimately be the best.
Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent and you're looking at these young people, children, and you're afraid for them. I don't think we should be afraid for our children. Decisions based upon fear are usually not good decisions. Mm-hmm. We should be building and making decisions based on great confidence in God's mercy and his grace. Because I think it is a really dark time. I think there's challenges for children, especially if they're going to public schools, what they're being taught there, even within Canada, Catholic schools, some crazy stuff going on there. So we have to pray for our children, but to believe what the Word of God says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So now is a time of great grace for families because it's such a confusing time, such mm-hmm. a sinful time. So it's not a time to despair, but the opposite. Well, if it's so sinful, it's so confused, it's so disordered. Therefore, God must even give us even greater grace for our families. So now is a time, I think, for holy families to rise. But we have to respond with great generosity and trust in God.
Mm-hmm. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton said, "If I had to advise parents, I should tell them to take great care about the people with whom their children associate. Much harm may result from bad company, and we are inclined by nature to follow what is worse than what is better." I think that's very true. It's so easy to fall into bad habits when we're surrounded by maybe people who live out bad habits.
And particularly, we have control over who comes into our home mm-hmm. and who spends time with our children.
Right.
And if we as parents recognize that the company that our children are keeping is harming their soul, we have a duty to pull our children away from that relationship.
Right, right.
And some of it, well, are you trying to create a bubble for your children and insulate them? In one sense, yes. Right. Because now is the time of their formation. Now is the time to build them up in their faith. Now is the time that they learn their virtues. Children don't learn virtues from other children. They learn it when it's best displayed by their parents.
Parents, we need to be good teachers. Like, we need to be living out virtuously, living a disciplined life, showing what it's like to, have a prayer life and to be grateful, you know, thanking God throughout our day for different things and showing the kids, really, ultimately, how we can live a fully abundant life.
Because children will learn first virtue from their first teachers.
Right, which are their parents.
Yeah, here's what St. Teresa of Avila says.
"I sometimes reflect on the great damage parents do by not striving that their children might always see virtuous deeds of every kind." So how do our children see virtuous deeds lived out? Well, for one, they hopefully see it among their parents and among their other siblings. Which isn't always the case. Mm. Sorry, I didn't mean to be looking at you. I'm talking about myself here. But also, you know, exposing them to other virtuous families, priests, religious, you know, living out the virtues in their day-to-day. That's really good for them.
And so we strive to welcome people into our homes that have good influence on our children's lives. We're intentional about that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that you brought up, they should see it in us. Virtue, but realistically, we're imperfect. And so then what do we do? Well, if it's plain to the children that they've just witnessed a vice, then we need to point it out.
Right.
And say, what you just saw wasn't right. This is what you should have saw. So mm-hmm. selfishness. You know, Dad was selfish in this act. What you should have saw was generosity.
Or Mommy shouldn't be complaining like that. That's very inappropriate. What I should have done is, you know, said, "Thank you, Jesus, for this, or just kept my mouth shut.
It's interesting, in the collective works of St. Teresa of Avila, she goes on to explain how her mom had this habit of reading, I think, what we would call romance books. And she doesn't say that it was a vice for her mom, but she says that it was a vice for her. And even that her father cautioned them on reading such books so they would almost do it with so he wouldn't see. Mm. And this, she says, caused great damage to herself. It eroded virtue in her life. And so think about what your children are seeing or your grandchildren are seeing. I mean, St. Teresa of Avila is talking about romance books and how it maybe wasn't damaging to her mom, but for her it was. So let us be cautious of what our children maybe are not necessarily reading, but seeing continuously. This thing,
because it's getting put away for Lent,
it can destroy souls. It can. So we have it to be can. Cautious.
And I think it's important for our kids to see us, you know, reading good and holy books or taking time to pray. I remember a friend of mine mentioning how every morning she would wake up and she would see her mom sitting on the couch reading her Bible. And I just think, wow, that image was etched in this girl's mind. And I just think that was a really powerful experience, because it then showed this girl that I should do that too. And I feel like my kids don't often see me praying, because I try to do it early in the morning when they're all sleeping, because I don't want to be interrupted. Maybe I should just plunk myself right on the couch where they can all see me.
You might be distracted. We do pray the rosary. So it's not like there's many points of prayer in our family. So don't be too hard on yourself.
I know, but I think it's important for them to see us doing our individualized prayer. Okay. Or at least they need to know that we do that.
St. Teresa of Avila also talks about the types of people you allow in your home. And what if you have a relative who's a bad influence on your children? Well, this was her case. It was a cousin.
So it happened to me, for I had four sisters much older than I, whose modesty and goodness, of which they had a great deal, I did not imitate at all. And I imitated all that was harmful in a relative who spent a lot of time at our house. She was so frivolous that my mother tried very hard to keep her from coming to our home. It seems my mother foresaw the harm that would be done to me on account of her. But there were so many occasions for her to come to the house that my mother could not prevent it.
And what was this great harm of this cousin with St. Teresa? Well, it was just vanity and worldliness. That's really what she goes on to talk about. So could it be that for the good of our children, that maybe we limit time with extended family depending on their lifestyle or how they live their life or the habits they have? Well, St. Teresa, doctor of the church, is saying this was not good for her. These are difficult things to work out because every family is different. Mm-hmm. But to be aware that sometimes it could be appropriate to limit time with extended family if what our children are going to witness or participate in or be tempted by would harm their spiritual growth.
And I really feel like we can't underestimate that God has given us the grace as parents to know when maybe something isn't quite right. You know, you can kind of feel that in your heart, right? You kind of have this intuition of like, okay, maybe it's not the best idea to have a sleepover, for example. Or maybe it's not the best idea to allow any device use. I feel like devices, you know, if you're going to play with your cousins, why not just play together, play a board game. You don't need any devices, right? Mm-hmm.
That point is great. God will give you that grace because you're the parent. Mm-hmm. And so your standard isn't Ken and Janelle. What do Ken and Janelle do in their home? You seek God and ask him to enlighten you on the best way to handle these situations, because he will guide you, because that's your responsibility. He's not going to leave you high and dry. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Right. You know, roll the dice and hope it lands right.
No.
He'll lead and guide you, but you have to ask him and then you have to act.
Right, exactly. And I think we forget how we've been given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like the gifts of understanding and counsel and all these things, like wisdom to know how to appropriately handle each and every one of these little situations. St. Teresa of Avila continues, "From such experience, I understand the great profit that comes from good companionship. And I am certain that if at that age I had gone around with virtuous persons, I would have remained whole in virtue."
So here we have St. Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, reminding us of the importance of good company. So evaluate if you have young children in your home. Mm-hmm. Do they have good company?
And you know, maybe you don't actually even know. Maybe you don't ask your kids, like, what did you guys do? What did you talk about? What did you learn from your friend or from the neighbor? And, you know, kind of get a feel of, like, who these people are. And, you know, actually, it's probably better to investigate those things before your child spends time with the other person. But again, like God is so good. He does want to safeguard us and our children. And so the other thing, like, I think is important is remember each one of our children has a guardian angel, right? And we can ask that guardian angel to protect our child, to like shield their eyes from anything that they should not be seeing or hearing, you know, to protect their lips so that they don't speak anything that's inappropriate or to mimic something that maybe they did see that was inappropriate. Yeah, I just feel like God's given us so many tools.
So if you're a grandparent, my children are out of the house now and I see my grandchildren, I'm concerned with how they are living their life, or maybe your own children have lost their faith. What do you do? Pray. pray, 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 keep on praying. And as a parents, we have to pray. And again, one will circle back to one of the first points. Pray for the vocations of your children or your grandchildren, mm-hmm. that they would respond to the call that God has in their life. Because if you don't pray for their vocation, who will? That's your job. Especially as a parent. That's your job, your responsibility. If you're interested in a little bit more of our thoughts on family and raising children, I'll link another video at the end of this video. Share with us what stood out to you and why in the comments below, and we will see you next Wednesday. God bless you.